We always visualize ourselves. Of course, in the Old Testament, they always kneel before God. They bow down. There's nothing wrong with it, absolutely. But we realize in our new covenant that we have, it's a heartfelt thing. You don't necessarily have to physically bow down. It's about your heart. But as I was sitting there just blessing the Lord, you know, he says we're seated with him in Christ Jesus in heavenly places.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're not down here looking up at him. We up there looking down here.
Okay.
And I don't know if you understood that. That's a different place of worship. See, we're in Christ and he's at the right hand of the Father. So in him and through him, we should be looking through our victory from a point of victory rather than a point of help me, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
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 I know it's hard when you feel bad. You want God to feel for you, and he says he does for your infirmities. He loves us and he cares about everything about us. But he also wants us to know who we are. And our place is with him. And he's given us the authority to cast down vain imaginations that tries to exalt itself higher than he. Amen. In other words, we need to grow up a little bit. We all growing, but we still need to go up another notch. God's doing great things. We don't have any idea. Pastor made such an analogy the other morning. We were sitting at the table out here, and he said, we're kind of like, I don't want to use your scripture. I hope you ain't going to preach this or something. But you said it, I guess, right out of your spirit. He said, we're like Noah building an ark. God saying, build. But he had never seen no rain. He didn't know what rain was. But whatever the rain is, we building for it. Do you get that? See, whatever God's about to do, we are preparing for it. We do not know. We really do not know. We know what he has done. We know what he has done on our behalf, but you really do not know yet what he's about to do. The only way we're going to know that is how? By the Spirit of the Lord, as we prepare our hearts and prepare our minds and disciple people and build them and grow them up. See, how would you like to have a church full of leaders?
Whoa. Yeah.
Amen.
To go to the four corners of the earth.
Right.
I mean, we think too small sometimes, Pastor.
Yeah.
Well, you know it or not, we're about to launch out all over this world.
That's right.
By internet.
Uh-huh.
That's a powerful tool.
Right.
We're about to have so many phone calls, we may have to hire somebody to answer the phone.
Yeah.
Y'all don't hear me now, I'm telling you. We're about to have so many testimonies that we got to take all day to get them off of it, the websites. About what God is doing, not what man is doing. This is a God thing. I'm telling you, it's not about you and I. Even though we have a part in it, this is a God thing. And the minute you get you in it, you're going to find out what God's all about. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, you know, you always mess up a move of God by getting yourself in it.
Right.
Man always got to get in it. Instead of flowing with him, we getting in the middle of it and start saying what God's about to do and what he ain't going to do.
Amen.
Amen. Sister Lund, you're on one on the left-hand side tonight. Amen. Draw from me. There we go. I always get in trouble for not going to the left. Amen.
See how it is.
Amen. I don't know. I do everything right, left to right, I reckon. I don't know why I stay over here. Anyway. But God is doing a great thing, not only in this house, but all over the world.
All right.
You're starting to hear testimonies. Just because a man who drove a truck had an encounter with God in this house and began to give testimony about what God's doing in his life, begin to give CDs out of what's being taught here.
Yeah.
A woman's life was changed on the other side of the country down here.
Yeah.
We'd have never reached her any other way.
Right.
He gives them out everywhere he goes. See, that's the way you and I got to get. Wherever we go, we need to be handing out the Word of God. It's free. Now, it costs somebody something to get it and have it, but as far as giving it to somebody, it's a gift. It didn't cost $5. It didn't cost $10. We never charge for a CD ever. We're doing about 300 a month now or more. Well, that don't sound like much, but we came from to a lot. We're ordering tapes every month now, CDs every month. So you got to see what God's doing. We're in that season. As Pastor talked about, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Just want to encourage you. We cannot get slack in what God is doing. We always need to come into the house of God and get around one another, fellowship. We should be sparking. We should be sharpening iron with iron all the time. Tell him what God is doing. What do we hear God saying? We don't need to get silent. The enemy loves for you to be quiet. That's the first thing he wants you to do is shut your mouth. Because there's power in the tongue. There's life and there's death in your tongue. There's blessings or cursings in your tongue. And you need to declare the word of God into the earth. So don't get quieter. Get louder. Hallelujah. See, we're going to grow out of this feeling thing for us over with. See, the reason we feel bad is because we hadn't learned to count on the Spirit of God in us. See, he's always strong. He's wanting to get out all the time. You got to do that through your praise and worship. You have to overcome your feelings. Amen. We're in a new day. We're in a new age. We're in a new time. Old church won't work. If you showing up and let go of God just do something for you, it ain't going to work. Now, he'll do it if you're in faith with the word. But if that's all you showing up about, it'll dry up on you. He's about empowering you to do his work. We just had a session on empowerment. Bless God. Breakthrough empowerment. You are empowered. You were empowered before that week came with. You just didn't know it. That's okay. You found out. Hallelujah. But do not let your circumstances and situations knock it out of you.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. I'm talking to me too. Need to stir up. Keep yourself stirred. And I can't do that for you and you can't do it for me. That's an individual matter. You know, we'll work hard. We'll just give it our all. But when it comes to the house of God, sometime praising him, we ain't going to give him nothing. What's wrong with us? That's backwards. If you have to, take your head and do that. Hey, man, you know I love you. I'm just encouraging you. Bless God. I mean, some of us have come a long way. We got a whole lot longer way to go. And it's all good. It ain't bad. It's all good. Bless God. Amen. Well, notify your face. God's good. Like Pastor said all the time, God's good. Turn with me to John, the 9th chapter. I'm going to do a lot of reading. I usually don't do that, but we're going to read this whole chapter. To set up where I want to go tonight. John chapter 9. It's about, your heading might say, Jesus healing a man born blind. That's where we're going to take our text from, our thoughts from tonight. If you read above this, Jesus just had a big fight or encounter with religious people. The Sadducees, the Pharisees. In verse 58, right above that, I'm going to read that. He said, I tell you the truth. Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. So they were saying Jesus was just a mere man, but he's trying to tell them who he is. They won't receive it. At this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Now, if most of us had just got out of a fight with a bunch of religious people, because you'll see he picks it up, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. Ain't none of us would have our mind on anybody. But Jesus, that didn't bother him. Wonder why? Somebody tell me why. Why didn't that bother him? Why didn't that discourage him? Why didn't he just stop a while and say, you know, I need to rest. I just had a big fight over here with these guys. That's because he knew who he was, number one. He knew his purpose, number two. And when nothing going to stop that. Even after all that turmoil, what I'm trying to say, sometimes we have turmoil, we have battles before we come into the house of the Lord. Let's just say that. Well, our minds are everywhere but on him. We have situations and circumstances that just bombarding us. We just seem to be overwhelmed with them. And so we forget God. We forget his purpose. We forget the plan while we're here. Amen. When we should just move right along. That was just a moment in time. And let us look at it as a moment in time and move on to what God's trying to tell us to do. Amen. But anyway, we're going to start verse 1. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in this life, in his life. And as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no man can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with his saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. Listen to the story. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes open, they demanded. Verse 11, he replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. And he told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see.
Hallelujah.
Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. I mean, it wasn't no big deal to him. He didn't got healed. I mean, what? Okay. Verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath day. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and then I could see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? So they were divided. Verse 17, finally they turned again to the blind man. It's the third time he's been approached. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he's a prophet. The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Now the mom and dad getting in it now. See this story? Watch his story. Is this your son, they asked? And this, the one you said was born blind. How is it that now he can see? We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue or put out of church. That was why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. A second time they summons the man who had been blind. It's four times he'd been asked. Give glory to God, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I can see. Boy, powerful. Whew, something jumped up in me. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? They constantly on this guy. Oh, he just glad he's healed. He answered him, let's see, where was I at? 27, thank you. He asked, I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Sounds like some people you know, don't it? Do you want to become his disciple too? Now another step took place. He's healed the man. Now they worried, well, you want to be one of his followers now? Verse 28. Then they hurled insults at him. Now they get mad. And said, you are this fellow's disciple, and we are disciples of Moses. Now here we go. Changing up now. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now this is remarkable. You don't know where he come from, yet he opened my eyes. Boy, this guy's got wisdom and they don't even know it. I mean, he's just a young man here. Smarter than the religious people of his day. He said, that's pretty smart, you know. Where was that? Listen to me. Sorry. I'm seeing other things. I think I'm wanting to get somewhere out at any time. 31? Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. Never heard of it. Say uncommon.
Uncommon.
This kind of stuff is uncommon. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Now this is the guy that can see. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? The guy just trying to be honest. And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Speaking of himself. Who is he, sir? The man answered, tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. My goodness. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. How could he not? I don't want to preach right here, but how could you not believe? How could I not believe from where I came from? What he's done for me. How could I not believe? Oh, my. Then the man said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. So Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what? Are we blind too? Now he's getting somewhere, ain't he? Evidently they are. Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. That's a good story.
Amen.
And it progresses. You can see a progression in here where Jesus is trying to show them and enlighten them to who he is. Amen? You know, we've been talking about a season. Pastor talked Sunday about we're in a time of opportunity. We know that this was a divine opportunity for this blind man. Don't we know that? It was a divine encounter that he was, it was in his season of time that Jesus would walk by. But Pastor also said time ends. So you need to move in that time of frame of time for your opportunity, opportune moments. Whatever that is for you. Sister Pam spoke on a message about time is the divine connector to what God has to do. Time is very important. Timing is so important, it means life or death. I've said this often. I think in 1981, November the 15th, about 12:30 that afternoon on a Sunday morning, it was my time. I fooled with God all my life. We got saved 20,000 times. You know, not really saved. But we just went down to the altar, went through the motion. But that moment, I really got born again. And never been the same since. Because that's how I knew. I changed immediately. How could I not believe? My wife got born again the same time I did. I wasn't looking for my wife to go to the altar. I ran to the altar on my own. I turned around and she was behind me. Thank God she was. God knew I had to have a helpmate to make it through. You know, some people, I know your husbands or your wives may not be saved. I feel for you. But God is greater than any of that. He can take you through. You keep believing, they come into the to saving grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I've heard Jerry say it was a few weeks or a few months before his wife came in when he got born again. But through that, through you being saved, your wife got saved. Amen. So time is very important. Breakthrough we've already had. The empowerment we already have, now we have to begin to walk. The fight of faith is beginning. If you can't handle the meat, you know what to do. I'll give some milk in a minute. But that's meat stuff right there. See, now is when the fight of faith begins. When you get your breakthrough. When God is moving you forward. Because we walk by faith, not by sight. And always, say always, comes into play. You'll never get high enough that you can't walk by faith. You never know enough about God that you don't have to walk by faith. Amen. Some of us have been on a journey for a year. Some of us have been on 6 months. Some of you just came into the King. Some have been 30, 40, 50 years. But we still have to walk by faith every day of our life. We go to bed, we pray in faith that we wake up. You better. Every night I go to bed, I said, Lord, forgive me my sins. I just do it because. Now, you don't have to. I may not even know about any, but I'm going to say it anyhow. You can laugh. Thank you. You know, some people say, well, if you hadn't done any sinning, what are you asking? I don't know. I might have missed something. I don't know, but I want to be clean when I lay and close my eyes. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Because I may wake up in glory. I mean, no problem. I know we promised 70. I know we promised 120 years. That has a lot to do with things in there. You got to take care of yourself. You got to do a lot of things with this physical body to last 120 years. Amen. Amen. You know, the Word will take us a long way. I believe I'm living today because of the Word of God. Not really because of how I've kept myself healthy. Now, that's not a good thing, but I'm saying. But if you get, as you grow in the Word of God, it has to do something with the physical body. Your physical body has to begin to change for the better.
Yeah. Come on now.
Amen. I believe I've already added 20 years to my life because I praise and worship God. And I intend to do it till I can't do it any longer. I mean, that's how strong I believe in blessing the Lord. He adds years to me. He adds strength to me. Pastor was preaching and standing up here Sunday, and he said the Spirit of the Lord said that he would quicken us. Us older ones that have been in the ministry for a number of years. He quickened us for this new day. That we'd had the strength and the wisdom and the power to do what needs to be done. And that is to help others and disciple others and move others forward. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Just because we're getting older, I mean, we believe a lot of things sometimes. And I'm one of them sometimes talking about getting older. And I hear Pastor, we talk sometimes, just between me and him. Just talk. I mean, you know, just talk. You know, you discuss it. We seem like we're on our way out, and we are as far as years. We may have 20 or 30 more years, but we've already lived most of our life. Yeah. Amen. But that's okay. That's okay. When God's plan is over, we'll go. And then he'll have somebody else to take our place. Just like we came under a generation of his father and all them. We moved right in, took the place of whatever was going on. Because he has called us for such a time as this. Into the kingdom of God. I say it and I say it again. We are just now moving into our ministry. See, we think we've been doing something. We're just being prepared to do what we're fixing to do now. For an influx of people to come in to have the wisdom and the understanding of the Word of God and the knowledge of God, the gifts to operate so that we can build one another up. We can lead others to Jesus. We can disciple people. He said he's already been a father. He just never says he's been a father. We had the prophet come and confirm his fathership. He's already been acting like a father. But now you better watch him when you sit down with him. Because he'll get on you big time. But with a father's love. He don't back up much no more. He used to kind of just hold himself right here, but he believes in the arm of God's over him now. That means a difference, I'm telling you, when you believe what you believe. And it's for your good and for my good. It's a new day. We don't preach about a lot of respect and all, but you better start respecting the man and woman of God. I'm telling you, I'm telling you, I'm telling you, you're in dangerous grounds when you don't. But if you don't even respect your brother and sister, you're in dangerous grounds. Don't fool yourself. You can't treat people just any old kind of way. You can't go home and have a table full of conversation over what's going on around here. You better get on your knees and pray for them, like Brother Jerry said. We need to be praying every day for them. They need breakthrough just like everybody else. They need strength just like everybody else. They have to go through cares of life just like anybody else. Only thing they have, the anointing call and the grace of God to do what they do. Just like you do. So you better start respecting them. In the spirit. That finger's long tonight, Andy. Boy, I felt it go all the way back to the booth back there. It's like one in 3Ds. I wish I could do it in 3D. Like, that's what it felt like when I said it. It's in the, you know. And it come back to me. I'm talking to me. But one thing I have learned to respect the man and woman of God. I respect you. Amen. And I've never gotten to my text yet. We good, we good. We just 8:20. I'm supposed to quit in 10 minutes, bro. I won't get there. Anyway, I guarantee you I won't. What I'm saying, man, it's wild up in here, man. It's craziness, brother. You can have some agendas, y'all, but sometimes it just don't go that way. I said, he on day, yeah. Casa. Blande, bicolato, Jose. Yeah. Bisha, bleando. Golly. I'm like you, Pop, my throat's plumb dry. Hallelujah. Now, I usually don't get that way. Hallelujah. Where was I at? Thank you, Jesus. No, I'm not going to get started, it looks like. I mean, I ain't got 9 minutes. Like Pastor, you say, you thank God we on a time clock around here. We'd be up here about 2 more hours, probably. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got to get back where I was, Pastor. My mind's messed up now. See, I ain't got to have no agenda. That's one thing. I want to tell you guys something. And it's been said over and over, and I said again, you ministers, you preachers, you get up in here, you got something going on for yourself. I guarantee you look like a big old thumb standing out up in here. You better go with the flow of what God's saying. You better not have no agendas. You just be prepared in the spirit to do what God wants you to do and what he wants you to say. Hallelujah, I'm going to attempt to move on. I got 8 minutes. Opportunity, breakthrough. We just read a story of an opportunity that came to a man who was born blind. Jesus showed up on his behalf. Tonight I want to talk to you just a minute. Now, that's what it's working down to. Just a minute. On voices. Shout voices.
Voices.
All kinds of voices. Loud voices. Whispering voices. Arguing, anger voices. And I have one of them in my house. That's woo. Y'all know what, how many ever heard voices? How many ever been standing out in the foyer with a lot of people? Woo! And you hear voices just resonating. I mean, you get out there and they're talking and it's like, everybody's everywhere talking about something. My wife hates noise. She said, oh God, it's too loud. I didn't yang me to death. She don't like loudness. But voices. My point being, and the story proves it out, when God does something for you, you're going to have all kind of voices coming at you.
Yeah.
See, and you got to be aware of this.
Amen.
We already are from a victory standpoint. Remember that. We're not looking at it through a defeated point. We are victorious. But still, the enemy's at work. You think he's going to let you get by? That's his whole nature. He don't have a choice in the matter. It's his nature to do bad. It's his nature to turn you from God. And make you rebellious just like he did and like he is. He wants you to look at yourself as me, mine, and nobody else's. That's why he got thrown out of heaven. It's all about him. Quit being about God. But voices. And it's about five voices. I got 6 minutes. There's five voices I want to bring out in this text that we need to listen to, that we need to hear and understand, not listen to and do, but know that they're not for your good. Voice number one, the voice of reason. Verse two, his disciples asked the rabbi, ask him, whose sin did this man or this parent or his parents, who sinned that he was born blind? The mind of reasoning always looks for the problem. When you let your reasoning go, when there's a situation in your life, you begin immediately to try to reason it out. And any reasoning will not take you to where God wants you to be.
That's right.
Because it's not the mind of Christ. You cannot wind up where God wants you reasoning things out.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Reasoning focuses on the problem. Always. Reasoning will not make sense when it comes to God. You can't reason God. There's one time he said, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I shall make them white as snow. But he's talking about reasoning with him, his mind, not with yours, because you can't. You can't understand salvation with your head. You can't understand there's a living God living and Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. You've never seen him. If we start reasoning out our salvation, we will lose it, so to speak. Because you'll think, what the heck is this all about? I never touched God. I've never seen Him. You can't reason that out. It will lead you away from God. The disciples themselves said, why is this man blind? Is it his fault? Now, the thing I've seen when he said, is it his fault? He was born that way, so how did he have anything to do with it? See reason? Or his parents' fault. Now, back in that day, they thought if somebody was born with a deficiency or something wrong with them, it was about because of sin. So that he had, I guess they had a right to ask that question, but Jesus set him straight. Said it wasn't any one of them. It's that the Father might be glorified through his situation. Not that he might be glorified through him being blind, but through him seeing again. See, that's a different point of view. You looking in heaven looking down now, but if you're looking up here, you go, well, you know, he deserved to be blind because God wanted to do this and do this in his life. No, that's not what Jesus said. Because then he proved what he said. He touched him and he was healed. Amen. If he hadn't been, he left him that way. He said, God's getting glory for him. Amen. You can't reason out paying a tithe when you don't have no money. Voice of reasoning. You can't. Because if you reason it, you won't pay it. Or you won't give it. You won't give offerings. I never took a swallow of this dip. You can't reason out the things of God, that's all I'm trying to tell you. If God wants you in a certain place, you can't reason out whether it's 50 miles, 100 miles or 2 miles. It's what the will of God has for you. So you can't reason that, because if you do, you're going to lose. You're going to stay where you're at. You say, I just do something closer. See, we got it in our head. The older we got in life, we want everything comfortable and around us close. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. We don't want to have to stretch out beyond. But God's always going to require us to stretch. And sacrifice, and commit, and be determined. No matter what the situations are. Thank God we have people who drive a long ways. We have some, I think, drive up about 50 miles, don't we? Down here. It's worth the drive.
Amen.
See, that's my key. We had Sister Pam who drove from Griffin here, I don't know how many years. 13 years? Drove to Macon. I drove from over there. Some of you drive from Griffin. Some of you driving from Griffin.
Amen.
But I want to tell you something. If that's the will of God, you better get in line with that. It's not about the gas. If it's $15 a gallon, God will provide $15 a gallon for you to drive wherever you need to go. Hallelujah. We can't reason out these things. You're in a financial trouble. You can't reason that out when there ain't enough coming in and there's a lot more going out. You got to do the principles of the Word. You got to start getting your head in the mind of Christ, doing the things He wants you to do. We don't need to reason. Listen to that voice of reasoning.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That is good.
Second voice we hear here is verse 8. It said, his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging, asking, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. The voice of familiarity, of familiar spirits. Boy, we eat it with them sometime. See, familiar spirits will always bring up the past in your life.
Yeah.
You can get around some people and they still living back there.
Amen.
It's all you hear. What God did. Mm-hmm. What God said. Yeah. What I did. Mm-hmm. Then God did this. Has done. Yes, you can glean for that, but you never need to live there. That's a familiar spirit. You got to move forward with God. But a familiar spirit will always take you back there. Just like with them, the neighbor said, isn't this the guy that was once blind? Wasn't he blind? Who is he? They said the same thing to Jesus. They told Jesus, what'd they say? That's just the carpenter's son. Familiar spirit. They couldn't receive any miracles from him because they thought he was just the carpenter's son. I'm telling you, we're in a different time. You just listen. And he says, and like Pastor said, it's so serious. You know, recess is over, as the old man said. Amen.
Amen.
It'll bring the past up to you, and also it'll bring the past, it will bring back the past to you. You ever not seen anybody for a while? Was that the right way to say that? I don't know. And then when you meet them, they want to talk about what it used to be like.
Yeah.
The past. Even your Christian brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
They want to talk about the past. Instead of what God's doing now, what God done for you now, how he changed you.
Yeah.
I'm sure some of you, when you got born again, you had old cronies.
Yeah.
They want to come back to you and say, let's go do this. Let's go do, I don't do that anymore. Well, why? You didn't got so holy and now? No, I just don't do that anymore. I got born again. I got saved. I quit doing that lifestyle. Familiar spirit. And I can say, even in the church world, we have it. In your household. When you got saved. Amen. They want to remember you like you are. But I hope you're doing good in your household. Now, if you're going home and cussing, carrying on, and just acting a fool and calling yourself a Christian, then that's a different story. I'm talking about people who got a heart for God living right in their home. You know, sometimes wives can't accept husbands as ministers because they can't separate he's a man and he is a God man. So he's always throwing up what he's like in the old man. I know you. We all do it. I know you like a book. I know if I push the right button, I'll get the same old guy coming out. If I push the right button on the woman, I'll get the same old woman coming out. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That's a familiar spirit. And it's working. It's a voice. And voices carry sounds. And sounds produce something. Right? Sister Pam's taught us that. It produces vibrations. Vibrations change things. So if somebody's always telling you, you know, you got people putting you down all the time. Anybody live that? Come on, y'all act like y'all ain't never heard that before. Especially your family. They always tell me no good, like we say children. You tell your children they're no good long enough, they'll be no good. I'll tell you that. Because in my life, I didn't, you know, I come from a broken home and my grandparents raised me and they was already in their 60s when they started raising me. I thought, my gosh, I got one that's three and I'm in my 50s and I can't take it. I don't know how they took it. I love him, but man, it's rough. That's why you had him early. Amen. But you know, I was terror. I did whatever I wanted to do when I wanted to do it, how I wanted to do it. They couldn't stop me. They were too old. I mean, really, they couldn't. Run the streets, got in trouble, got locked up, got put in jail, put in reform school, cut up in school. The teacher used to tell me, always, the principal used to get me in. The principal's always tell me, oh boy, you be in prison before you grown. The whole time she's hitting me. Pow! You know you ain't no good anyhow. Pap! You know you're going to go to jail if you keep this life up. Pap! I know what I'm talking about. She told me. Mean woman, you know her. No, I'm talking about one in school. I'm trying to think of that lady's name. What's her name?
West.
With who?
West.
Yes. Ooh, mean woman. She's a principal. She could hit. Oh, God. And I will forget, I started laughing when she was hitting me one time. That made her so mad. And she said, "I'll get out of here, boy. They don't need me hitting you because you ain't paying me no attention anyway." But she was about right. If it had not been for God, I can bet you I would be there. But God had a plan for you and I before the foundation of the world began to be in Christ Jesus, to be standing here tonight and worshiping God, praising God. Thank God we didn't listen to those familiar voices. How many can say amen?
Amen.
Is that right, Brother Al?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Third one. Verse 13. They brought the man to the Pharisees, the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the man and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him now. He had received his sight. How did you receive your sight? He put mud on my eyes. And the man replied, "I washed and now I can see." Some of the Pharisees said, "Thus, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner do such miracles and signs?" So they were divided. Third voice, the voice of the Pharisees, which represents religion. Anytime God does something for you, I guarantee you, a religious voice is going to show up. It might be in you, and you need to work it out and get it out of you, first of all. But it's going to show up somewhere when God does a great thing for you.
Amen.
Amen. You can see they were divided. Religion always divides you. Amen. Religious people, ooh, you can pick them out real quick nowadays. Religious people you can pick up. They'll say it's not the way that we ever done that. We don't do things like that. That's what they were saying. How could this man heal you? We never seen a blind man who'd been born blind could see. How could that happen? See, limiting God, that voice will limit you. That's what I'm getting at. We can't be limited by any voices other than God's voice. And if you notice as this story went on, this young man that was blind but now could see, they couldn't sway him from that. He knew something that took in place. It wasn't no voice going to tell him otherwise. How many of you determined? How many of you really committed and determined to that? You know, God's going to go outside the box. You might as well face it. The minute you think you got him figured out, he'll show you you don't. Now, these basic principles, God's word, that we can believe in and stand on is sure foundation. But the way he does things, you can't always figure out. I mean, I've been warned with some of that, those voices. Trying to figure out things, getting reasoning going on in my mind, that voice of reasoning. The minute you give place to it, you get so frustrated, it ain't funny. You know, that's what makes people have nervous breakdowns. That's what makes ministers back in the years and all these times now just have complete breakdowns because they're trying to reason and hear God at the same time. And being religious, hearing the voice of religion. Amen. Thank be to God. We break a lot of sacred cows around him. That's one of the pastor's anointings. He was prophesied over years ago that he would be brought to a place that was religious and he would have the grace and the anointing to break them down. He plows new fields sometimes, don't he? He goes, whoops. Amen. Like he said Sunday, he said something Sunday. I don't guess y'all remember things like I do. Do y'all remember what Pastor says? I ain't listening to your tape this time. Somehow my spirit picks it up. He said, if you hear about church membership, we don't have it. That ain't Bible. Look in there and show me where it says you got to sign up to be a member in a local church. And we're not against that, but we just don't do it here. Well, we found out coming down saying a few words don't mean a whole lot of nothing and signing a form. You got churches that actually bill you for your tithe if you're not there. They will. Then they'll visit you at your house and knock on the door if you don't pay it. They won't know what's wrong. You a member of my church, you signed a pledge card. You said you tithe, so we want my money. Religion. My uncle used to say, I don't care how you give your money, it's still spent the same way. But that's not true. The Bible has a biblical way of giving unto the Lord. That's a heartfelt giving. With no grudging. Not begrudging you giving. Because of what he has done, you give back to him. Amen. That's religion, man. There's religion everywhere. Don't listen to that voice. Everybody in this room has heard these voices at one time or another. I guarantee you may be dealing with them now. You know, just a voice of, you sure God done that? You sure that was a God thing? You know, I had experienced that night, and you know, I cried and I sought the Lord at the altar, but when I got home, it's like, where'd you go? He didn't go nowhere. A voice has talked to you. And it wasn't a God voice. Miss Kathleen says she's still drinking from that new wine. She says she'd become a new wineskin and she just drinking the new wine. I said, well, they say now that the older the wine is, the better it is. But Jesus says right the opposite. The new wine is the good wine. Amen. Let's just take a drink. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Some of you can't relate to that because you never drank anything, but that's okay. You know, some of these voices can drive a person to drink. Know what I'm saying? Sometime in a good way, it can drive you to drink the good wine. Amen. If it get to bothering you enough. Thank be to God. In my life, I get off the center, and if I stay there long enough, and I'm going to use this just to make an illustration, Holy Ghost just worried me to death. Now, I ain't talking about death, but he just worried me, just worried me. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Holy Spirit just drawing on you and pulling on you. You can't get no peace in your mind. You can't get nothing going right. Everything you do, you touch your hand to it, seems like it's not right. Thank God for that. Because he bring you back to the center to drink of the wine one more time. Hey! How many drinkers we got in here? Everybody's hand all go up. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of you probably drank the real wine at home. That's okay. Boy, that wall went... I looked like I was on the side of a plexiglass. It's okay. Just don't get drunk. I said, you have a little wine for stomach's sake. I don't like stuff itself. I never did when I was in the world, so ain't got to worry about me. But I got other things I don't need to listen to. Amen. We'll move on. Say, Jeff, move on. Thank you. 4. I ain't far behind. What time is it? Oh, I better quit, Pastor. I'll finish right quick, I promise. You believe that, don't you? I don't know how.
Amen.
Like you say, man, you have to, you know, Pastor, like you say, you have so much fun when you're free in the spirit. You're not in time zones. In the spirit, you're not in a time zone, brothers, sisters. That's why I remember when we first got saved, we used to listen to teaching for 3 solid hours and never get bored 1 minute. Then after that, we'd pray and act it out for another 2 hours. It's a truth. And never think about time. Absolutely. Never thought about it. These are the days that which we live in today. We're going to have to do that again. It's going to be required of us because we got to help a lot of folk. Got to spend a lot of hours. Even maybe after you work, you might have to talk to a lot of people for a long time. Amen. All you got to have is a willing heart. Voice number 4, verse 18. The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. The voice of unbelief. Good Lord, that's a big one. Now, there's a difference between doubt and unbelief. How many of you know that? Doubt is when you know, when you're not sure you have revelation on God's word. You can doubt that. You go, Lord, I just don't know. But unbelief is when you know God said something and you know what he's saying to you and you choose not to believe him. Yeah. See, that's serious. That's disobedience. Yeah. See, these guys, they seen the man healed with their own eyes, but they chose not to believe. They still didn't believe, so they called his parents. The voice of unbelief, first of all, you may have to deal with it inside of you. Sometimes I do. You know, when things don't happen quick, I'm just going to talk to you now, you can hear the voice of unbelief coming. Yes, sir. You can hear it. You start saying with your mouth, and once you start saying with your mouth, you're getting in trouble. You go, well, God, that must have not been you. Oh, Pastor prophesied over me that I was going to be a zillionaire. But you know it don't look like it. Amen. It says then, hallelujah, I know, God, you're working. I receive it by faith. I walk it out. I act like I'm a zillionaire. I talk like one. I dress like one. Ever how they dress? You have to figure that out yourself. You know what I'm saying? We keep moving on. That voice will get in us. Amen. Are you healing anything God does for on our behalf? God told you to go somewhere. One day you just get so tired of going where he's telling you to go, you go, you know, I don't know if it's God or not. Well, guess what? Unbelief's trying to get in that voice. And he's talking real low. He ain't hollering at you. He ain't hollering at you. You know, the Bible says try the spirits, see if they're of God. So in doing all this move of the spirit, there's all kind of spirits going on. Right in the middle of it. There's all kind of voices going to talk. We could be dropping over like flies in here under the anointing of God, but there's still a voice that will run around in here to you. Yeah. Yeah. Or you'll look at a brother or sister and you say, that ain't God. Yeah. Talking to you. See, getting you in trouble with your mouth. Yeah. Boy, you know what? You don't sense nothing what God's doing. You bring in division among the brethren. Right. Amen. Amen. Unbelief robs you of God's best. We can't believe that God could use us sometime. If I reasoned out about me being a minister or just being used by God in some kind of way, I wouldn't be standing here tonight. Because I truly believe he uses me because of who he is. And I'm willing to be used. Amen. God could not fulfill his promises in you with unbelief. Voice number 5, verse 20. Boy, this is a pretty good one. Verse 20. We know he is our son. This is when the parents came. The parents answered, and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. This is why his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." The voice of fear. You would think his parents would be jumping up and down.
Amen.
And they wouldn't be afraid of anyone or anything. I don't know, but he can see now. But what they do is push it off on him to take up for himself because they're afraid. Amen.
Amen.
Fear. You know, because of fear, people have denied their very experience with God. We know people who were saved. We have a dear friend who came here, and I'm not going to call his name. But he sat down and talked with the pastor. And he'd been born again for 30 years. Because of his reasoning, because of his situations of life, because somehow fear got in him, and because of his mouth in the early years, some things he did. He no longer now knows if there's a God. Had experience with God. Encounter with God. But somehow, through his experiences of life, he don't even know. Fear entered into him. Strife entered into him. All kind of things come in with fear. The spirit, the voice of fear. Just think, if you're not afraid of anything, what couldn't you do? You know, the disciples, the apostles, were not afraid of anything. That's why they died. Still praising Jesus. They wasn't scared. Another word for fear is timid. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. Our timidness. Don't be ashamed of what Jesus done for you.
Amen.
You see, this young man never was ashamed. He said, "Guys, I didn't told you what he did. And I'm telling you, I was blind, but now I can see." You don't have to have all the answers how God touched you. Just declare he touched me. And now I'm made whole. We don't have to have all the answers. We're not God anyway. I couldn't explain to you when he talks about how God set me free from smoking and cigarettes. Just like Rhonda said, she woke up one day and didn't want them. I can't explain that. But it's a God thing. I hadn't smoked since 1982. Folks, smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day. Loved them. Ate them. I'd buy them for them and buy me something to eat. Yes, I would. Paul will tell you. If it come to a hamburger, I'd buy a cigarette. I'd do it out of hamburger. My God.
Amen.
See, but I sought the Lord. I can look back on it now and see how I sought God for it. But he done a miraculous thing in my life. I will never deny that. I decree that. That's been 28 years ago, 29 years ago. Never wanted one. Don't have a taste for it. I don't have no battle with it. Now, my wife quit, and she says she still smoke one this long sometimes. But she has the grace on her life that she never does. She's never touched one. Now, explain that. Why the difference? Don't care. God did it.
Amen.
I don't care. I don't have to have the answer.
Right.
We need to get out of that reasoning.
Yeah.
We're standing in a place debt free.
Yeah.
And hallelujah.
Yeah.
A lot more is coming. I don't know what, but it's coming.
Glory.
And I know a pastor talks about he walked by faith, he stayed no word in that, and they're not discrediting that. But bottom line is, God did it.
Right.
Now, he uses people. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank God for people who can hear the voice of God.
Yeah.
A lot of people are not blessed because people won't listen to the voice of God. And you're not blessed in your own life because you won't listen to the voices of God. Yes. Hallelujah. We're going to stop there. I got some more. But anyway. Let's don't let these voices, we're going to have them, but they can't drive us nowhere. You're always going to have voices. You're alive. You're a human being. You're going to be around people with that kind of talk. We talk about, pastor talks about, don't hang around the buzzards with their talk. They always pulling on you, wanting something from you. All they can come up with is doubt and unbelief. I mean, they just full of everything. Something wrong here, something wrong there. Can you help me here? Just pulling on you. Amen. Just don't allow that. No more. Some of us need to make a decision tonight. Not anymore will I listen to those voices. They may come, but I'll cut them off real fast. How you do that? Through the Word of God. You can't do it with your own reasoning. You must have hide the Word in your heart that you can spring forth with God's Word on it. And you'll back them down every time. Hallelujah. We're in a time of freedom, time of worship in our life. Why should we just walk around like we can't hardly make it? Our head is bent low. Like the woman in the, with the issue of blood. Or the woman with the, was that one? She was bent low. Or one with a back problem, one or the other. It don't matter. Them women met God. Amen. But we bent low. We bent low in life. We think life has treated us badly. And God has done so many good things. We got ourselves in most of the messes we in, folks. Let's just admit it. But God's mercy and grace is still on our life. Yeah, it may take a long time to come out of that. But you still go in faith. Hallelujah. I don't care, and I say this, and this is not right. I have lost homes. I have lost my cars. I've lost all of that. I've had my lights cut off. Matter of fact, since this move of God, I had my gas cut off one day. Yeah. Ha ha. You're looking at me like I'm something wrong. No, she forgot to pay it. I come in to take a shower, and guess what? I said, what the heck? I was waiting on the water to warm up. It got colder and colder. I said, my Lord Jesus. I got my clothes on, went back. Y'all don't have to keep that picture. I got ready and went back downstairs, went out to the meter, and it was locked up. I said, I'm going to check it. And it had a lock on it. You don't think I didn't hear a voice? Now, I'm serious. A depressing voice came to me. Here I am preaching faith. Here I am believing God for greater and bigger things. You don't think I didn't hear a voice at that moment? I got low at that moment. I said, my God, how long has it been since this happened? And it's happened many times before back in the day. But I heard a voice come to me and said, look who you are. Who do you think you are? But hallelujah, I didn't stay there. I said, but God. He said he supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I am a tither. Yeah. I am a giver. Yeah. I have something to bank on. Yeah. He said if I give, it shall be given unto me. Yeah. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto my bosom. Hallelujah. Bless God. Pastor Mike, I told him one day I needed $130 to do my teeth. He said $130 out there somewhere. That was his answer. That wasn't the one I wanted to hear. Love you.
It was, though.
It was, absolutely. Yeah. But at that moment, I go, huh? Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about life. But then I said, you're right. God said he supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Son Christ Jesus. He said, if I tithe, he rebuked the devourer for my sake. Hallelujah. I've been tithing for 30 years.
Come on.
You hear what I'm telling you?
Yes.
And you have too. I don't know. I'm getting on this time me to quit, ain't it? But anyway, I'm saying we can't listen to these voices. Some of them are loud. Some of them are quiet. Some of them are real sneaky. You know, that's like coming to church on Wednesday. You say, you know, I worked hard today. It ain't going to hurt me to miss Wednesday night. Come on now. You stay at home. You say, I'll be all right. Come to church on Sunday and here you go, come back on another Wednesday. Man, I thought it was bad last week. I just can't hardly move. It ain't going to hurt me to stay out another Wednesday. Before you know it, you don't come on Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just telling you the truth, especially if you live far away.
Yeah. Amen.
See, that's the difference between staying in reasoning and the will of God. I can remember, I'm going to say this and shut up. I could talk all night, brother. That's unusual. I mean, I just relax. But he talks about it all the time. We worked the third shift. I can remember I couldn't hold my head up. I was so sleepy. We'd get up out of that bed on Wednesday. And we just went to bed because me and him's out all day talking about the Lord. And God, I get up and I said, oh, my God. And I would. I don't know if I'm going to make it, Lord, but I'm getting up. Take me a shower, and I'm going to church. We did it. It was tough. But thank God, look at the blessings today. See, he don't always pay off on Sunday. But he pays off. My latter years are much greater than my former years. I don't have to work.